A Daily Dose of Luther is Good for the Soul. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October is a new devotional resource, Day by Day with Martin Luther. You can find out more at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Day by Day with Martin Luther costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October, Day by Day with Martin Luther.
We stand in the shadow of death. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one.
The Lord is our God. The Lord is one.
His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
Shield us through this night of terror, O King of the universe.
Why is everyone afraid? Why is this night different from all others?
Because this night, the Lord our God will deliver us from the bondage of Egypt.
That's a scene from the 1956 movie, The Ten Commandments, a brief depiction of the Passover. Now, the Passover is not just a meal that was a memorial to be held by God's people. It was also, as you heard there from the screams and the shouts, it was also part of the final plague that God sent upon Egypt to deliver his people from their slavery there. How was this plague different from the previous nine? We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Passover in Exodus 11 and 12. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
So, Tom, why is this final plague? Let's talk about the plague that's threatened there in Exodus 11. How is this plague different from the previous nine?
Yes, it's first of all similar in the fact that of the first nine plagues, six of them did not apply to the people of God, neither did this one because of their protection with the blood of the animal. The second thing where it's similar, it was against the gods of Egypt. The goat god Mendes was powerless to stop his own firstborn from being killed, and therefore that's why not only the firstborn of all those who were not part of Israel, of sons, but even goats. And we kind of remember why God did this. Pharaoh had ordered the death of all the sons of the Israelite people, and now God was going to take away the sons. So what is really different about this? And in fact, it was just said in the movie clip you did, is this is the plague where Pharaoh will finally let the people go, and as Charleston Heston said, God will deliver his people from slavery.
So it is. It's tied up with the idea that God regards Israel as the people, as his firstborn son. It's tied up with the fact that this is, as you said, kind of retribution for Pharaoh's original edict that was killing the sons born to the Egyptians to control their population. It's all that together.
Yes. Yes. In fact, we're going to see, when we looked at Joseph, there were so many coincidences in regard to the life of Jesus that Joseph experienced, and we're going to see that here also in the Passover, the many similarities between what God commanded in the Passover and what Jesus underwent on the cross.
I find it interesting here, and I know that you'd like to pay attention to the details like this. In verse 4 of chapter 11, Moses, speaking for God, says, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle." God says he's going to do this personally.
In fact, there is some regard, Peter Kralski does this in his book, Angel of the Lord, that the angel of death was actually Jesus, that Jesus had become that angel of death in bringing death to the people, because you know on the day of judgment, Jesus will be the judge, and those who are unbelievers will also be sent to that eternal death, namely hell. So there's not a lot of evidence of that in the scripture there, but it's an intriguing thing to think of that Jesus is the one who is coming to redeem his people, and that will mean, therefore, the death of the firstborn of the unbelievers.
Well, it would go with the history that's about to begin here, because from this point on, God becomes the one who fights for Israel when they wage war, when they enter the land and they conquer the land. God's command to them is that he is the one who goes to battle for them. So it's not that far removed that God takes personally takes responsibility for both defending and conquering the enemies of Israel.
Well, God even told that to Moses in chapter 3 when he says, "I am the one who will bring the people out of Egypt. I have heard their cry. I know their sufferings." And then verse 8, "I have come down to deliver them." Now, it's as though Moses is like Peter. He doesn't hear everything. Moses says, "Boy, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to talk." I mean, the way I look at this is when you, Todd, and I, Todd, as pastors, do the absolution, this is not some power I have to forgive sins, but I have the authority to do so in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, so that we ought not be telling the children to get real nervous when they're trying to witness to somebody, because all they need to do is say the words, because if anything happens, it's God, mainly the Holy Spirit, who's going to create faith. This is a common reflection throughout the entire scripture. The Sunday school teachers need to be emboldened to speak the word of God and not to put it in a way that makes it easier for the children to accept, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit to get them to accept. We speak the word of God in its purity, and we as Sunday school teachers are successful in doing that, and then we leave the results up to the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so God not only promises that he's going to deliver them, he promises Pharaoh that Pharaoh is going to listen, and Pharaoh follows the script perfectly. He, even with the threat of the death of the firstborn of all of Egypt and of the livestock as well, this is pretty profound unbelief, isn't it, Tom?
It is, because his heart is so hardened. But I'll tell you, it comes around again. Adam and Eve in the garden, they could go to one end of the garden and have all the fruit they wanted, another end of the garden and stroke a snake or ride on a lion. I mean, it was just perfect life until the devil said, "Well, wouldn't you like to be like God?" I mean, how foolish can you be in having all these promises? But, of course, we're just like Adam and Eve, and so will the Sunday school children be. We have all these promises from God, and each and every day we sin, if not by deed, by thought, by word. And that's why Jesus, as the Lamb who has come to take away the sins of the world, is so critical in this Sunday school lesson.
So, with this final plague, as the final plague is taking place, God institutes something else for his people, namely the Passover. How would you introduce us to that?
Yes, you know, I don't know how long it was. I kept hearing the word Passover. I'm not sure what age I was when I suddenly realized that the reason they call it the Passover is because when they follow the instructions of God and put the blood of an animal, either from a sheep or a goat, over the lintel, that's the top of the door and the side of the door, in a sense to almost form a cross, guess what? The angel of death passed over that house. And I think that Sunday school teachers need to get that across, that what Jesus did with the Israelites, he now does with us today. Not because of the blood over our doorway, but because of the blood on the cross. And so it is absolutely unique and similar one to the other.
So tell us about this Passover.
Yes. What happened is that God instructed them to get ready to flee quickly. And that meant that they had to have their staff ready, they had to have their sandals on, and never to use unleavened bread. In fact, during the celebration of the Passover, and by the way, that's something I didn't know. I thought they continued to do the Passover during their 40 years in the wilderness. They did not. They did not reestablish the doing of the Passover until they reached the land of Canaan, the promised land. But at any rate, they took everything that was ready, and how many people were there? There were 600,000 men, and that wasn't counting women and children, as well as a mixed multitude, and that would be foreigners that were living in Egypt that decided to go with them. And so what they were to do is each household was to sacrifice a lamb, and if there weren't enough people in the household to eat the lamb or the goat, then they could have two households do it. And the goal was to put the blood of the lamb over the doorway, and they were to do it with hyssop, which is really kind of interesting. Hyssop was a plant which just so happens to be used at the crucifixion. Same plant. When Jesus takes the sour wine to fulfill the last of the prophecies before he was able to die, and that is from Psalm 22, that he would be thirsty. And so that hyssop, it's a short plant, and you could reach it up, dipped it in wine, gave it to Jesus. And what a coincidence that the same plant that was used to put the blood of the doorway was used to administer to Jesus the final fulfillment of the last act. He could not die until all had been fulfilled. That's why he refused the drink at the beginning of the crucifixion, because he had to be thirsty, according to Psalm 22. And that was delivered with hyssop. And by the way, that plant was used throughout Israel's ceremonial rites in worship, etc., as they dedicated various parts of worship, etc., as well as used it for the sacrifice of animals.
There's also attached to this Passover meal preparation, which is the removal of any kind of leaven or yeast from the household. What's that about?
Any part of leaven, did you say?
Yeah, so that they would eat only unleavened bread.
Yes. It is clear, even from the New Testament, Jesus sometimes uses the term leaven as that which really represents sin in us. It grows within us, and then we flourish with something that is sinful. But there was a practical reason also why the leaven, because once the death occurred and Pharaoh said, I'm going to let the people go, you couldn't wait around until the leaven raised the dough to the proper consistency so you could leave. So, no, they had to leave immediately. And God had prepared them to leave immediately. Something that happened there that was really quite astonishing is they didn't have any money or anything. And so God moved the hearts of the Egyptians to give them gold and silver when the Israelites went out in preparation for their exodus. Then they got the gold and silver, and God moved the hearts of the people. Now, maybe he did it because they feared. I mean, here was a God who not only could kill their God's offspring, goats and such, but also that all those plagues had occurred, and they were afraid they were going to die. Whatever their motivation, they received that gold and silver. And that's another lesson. We're going to be getting to it later on, I'm sure, when we get into the Exodus. But it's a shame how they misused that gold and silver to create the golden calf. And so that's something else that ought to be a teaching by the Sunday school teacher to the children, that God gives you a lot of blessings, but you do have the possibility of misusing them. But the point here, he is always preparing you for whatever vocation that he has given to you so that he will be going with you even through the valley of the shadow of death, as Psalm 23 says.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest on this Monday afternoon, October the 19th. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, the Passover, in Exodus chapters 11 and 12. Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We'll be right back.
Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show Law and Gospel. We're in Exodus chapters 11 and 12, looking at the Passover. Tom, let's turn a little bit and concentrate on the Passover lamb itself. There's a lot to be said about this, what God requires of by way of the lamb, and then how it's to be prepared, and all those things. And you say there's very strong connection, foreshadowing, pointing to its fulfillment in Christ.
Yes, you can go through a number of verses. And by the way, the Growing in Christ has a chart that is just excellent. They take a verse like Exodus 12:3, where the orders from God, take a lamb. And then they go to the New Testament and listen, and this ties in with your leaven question, 1 Corinthians 5:7. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump as you really are unleavened, for Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. And I've already quoted John 1:29, John the Baptizer, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Then in verse 5 of Exodus 12, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old, which means they are of age. And Jesus was 30 years of age, the son of Joseph, it says in Luke 3:23. And then listen to 1 Peter 1:19. We've been saved with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. I mean, that's a direct going back to the Exodus. And then it says, they shall kill their lambs at twilight. Now, when's twilight? Twilight is the point when darkness begins to descend on the land until darkness. Now, remember, Jesus being crucified on Friday afternoon, the Saturday began at 6 p.m., and he died at 3 p.m., and even here in St. Louis at certain times of the year, it gets real dark, even around starting around 4:30 to 5. And so there we have a twilight, and John 19 says it was about the sixth hour, which was the day of the preparation of the Passover, and guess what? On the sixth hour, there was darkness over the whole land. You know, twilight had come. The sun's light had failed. Then, the blood on the doorposts. Well, John 19:34, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. And the point to be made there is when that occurs, that shows someone has truly died. Blood separates from the water. But the other point is blood, therefore, sprinkled the wood, well, more than sprinkled, of the cross. And it says very clearly in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Exodus 12:8. The order was, they shall eat the flesh that night. Well, Matthew 26, verse 26, night of the Passover, Jesus takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, says, take, eat, this is my body. And in case that doesn't convince you, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a koinonia, a participation in the blood of Christ, the bread that we break? Is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And in Exodus 12:46, you shall not break any of its bones. And when the soldiers came to Jesus, they had been given orders to break the bones because then you cannot breathe properly and you die from suffocation. But they saw that he was already dead. Verse 33 says, they did not break his bones. And listen what verse 36 says. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken. So we have a tremendous analogy, comparison between the Lamb at the time of Moses and Jesus the Lamb. And I'm going to make one point. It just never hit me till I did this study for Issues, etc. I can't believe how many people and whole denominations believe that the Lord's Supper is kind of a memorial meal where it helps us to remember what Jesus did for us. No, no, no. If you're going to say that the Lord's Supper is only a memorial meal, you'd have to say the same thing about the Passover. But it wasn't a memorial meal. It actually was God at work bringing his people out of bondage. And therefore, it just gives you a different view of the Lord's Supper. When it says, do this in remembrance of me, I really like this translation better. Do this in my remembrance of you. The Lord's Supper is identical to the Passover in that what Jesus is doing is bringing us the benefits of his salvation through the reception and through the actions of doing the memorial meal. And once more, it is God who is leading us out of the bondage of Satan into the kingdom of God, and we rejoice at that.
Well, and that's really kind of the way the whole account ends there at the end of chapter 12. All the people of Israel did just as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, and on that very day, the Lord brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their hosts.
Yes, in fact, this would be, I like listening to Professor Fekencher. He always has a theme every time you speak with him. Here's my theme. It's always a law and gospel theme from my point of view. From the point of view of the law, I and the children and the Sunday school teacher, we deserve the angel of death, because as we confess, we're poor, miserable sinners deserving temporal and eternal punishment. That's the law. What's the gospel? God bestows on me the angel of life. And that's none other than Jesus Christ himself. And he began that bestowal from the cross when he said to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
So with about 30 seconds here, Tom, is it safe to say that this entire Passover meal, rather than something that was kept in order to simply remember an event of the past by the Jews, was in fact, as Christ demonstrates to us, pointing forward to not only rooted in that past event, but actually pointing forward to that event's, the Exodus fulfillment in Christ's deliverance of the whole world through his shed blood?
That's excellent, because if you take Christ out of the Old Testament, if you don't see him in every passage, you miss the whole point of the Bible. We got to get back to that Emmaus Bible study where Jesus went through the whole Old Testament with those disciples on the road to Emmaus, pointing out to them that the whole Old Testament books are all about him. And I can only imagine the amount of time he spent on Joseph through Moses and the Exodus, and there's a lot more to come when we get into the wilderness and finally get to the promised land where we also will be going, not because we've been circumcised, but because we have been baptized. That's the new circumcision.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Tom will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on crossing the Red Sea. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you for this privilege.
Tom mentioned a few minutes ago the Growing in Christ Sunday School curriculum that we use as we go through these Sunday School lessons every week with him. You can actually get a free sample of Growing in Christ and see for yourself how Christ-centered cross-focus this Sunday School curriculum from Concordia Publishing House is. Give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for a free sample of Growing in Christ. You can also browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, Growing in Christ, a Sunday School curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, talking with Pastor David Peterson about Jesus healing an official's son in John chapter 4. This man comes to Jesus. He wants a sign. Jesus says, you will not believe unless you see a sign. And then he gives him a word, your son lives. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll also have Pastor Brian Wolfmiller respond to an evangelical cliche tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.